welcome everyone to the Borough of Roosevelt Council, regular council meeting, September 18th, 2023, at 7:05 p.m. As notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 6th, 2023, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press.
Mr. Robert Atwood?
Here.
Mr. Lou Escott?
Barely.
Mr. Michael Hamilton?
Here.
Ms. Constance Furstrom?
Here.
Mr. Stephen Mocker?
Here.
Mr. Joseph Trammell is absent. Mayor Peggy Malkin?
Here. Okay, I just have a few announcements to make before we go to the rest of the meeting. There's a few things happening in town that we should probably talk about. So the first is that I think many of you, but maybe not all of you, are aware that there's a hornet's nest on the bike path from Farm Lane to Solar Village to Lake Drive. I've been told that it is an Asian hornet. They're very large and very unattractive, and they're in a hollowed-out tree. So we did send out a code red. I hope everyone got that. But I just want people to be aware. Be careful walking down the path. Don't go near. Don't get too close to any trees because they're kind of. I think Councilman Trammell was stung by one, but I've been hearing about them for a few days before he was even stung. So I just want to just let everyone be aware that if you're walking down or biking down the bike path, stay in the middle of the road. Don't get too close to any.
Can't we call someone to get rid of them?
Well, I wondered that, but is that our...
No, it's not.
I didn't think so.
It belongs
so
to the county,
I guess. And
the counties.
Yeah.
Call them.
Do they have...
I think Joe did. I think Joe did, and they told them we don't deal with insects.
Yeah, I didn't think they would do anything.
Can we at least put a sign over there in case somebody...
They deal with mosquitoes.
I mean, we could... Who wants to go near the tree to put up a sign?
don't do it. By the path,
Don't do it. They're aggressive.
Yeah. Well, so what entrance? To Maryland, did you say? No, it's... It starts at Solar Village. It's a path that runs from Lake Drive into Farm and Valley.
Maybe
it was designed for kids to not have to walk down Rochdale, who live in the estates and on that part of
We could put some caution tape around that area, perhaps. And this way you don't have to get too close to it, just to keep people out of that area.
That's a good idea.
It's easy to do.
So we're not allowed to put on a track.
It's not ours. I mean, I would
track.
They appointed traps.
Okay. Yeah. Hopefully.
They go in and they can't get out. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the other insect-related news is that I think everyone's aware also that mosquitoes with West Nile virus have been found in Roosevelt. And again, residents should take every precaution not to avoid being bitten. Use insect repellent. Just if you don't have standing water on your property. I spoke to the county health department, and apparently September is the month for adult mosquitoes. That's when they're really proliferated in September. And I think it's in October. It's either August and September, but I think September and October.
I believe they sprayed too down at the end of Pine Drive.
They sprayed one area.
Just and that's where they found, I think.
At the sewer. Plant they found. Adult West Nile virus mosquitoes. But it was a specific type. It was an Asian. And so just not the hornets. And they carry many other diseases besides West Nile. They carry dengue fever, which is extremely serious, and a few other diseases. So even though they were specifically found near the end of Pine, near the sewer plant, I still would like all the residents to just be careful and try to take precautions so that you don't attract anymore. And so the other thing, we had discussed jetpacking our storm drains and spoke to the county, and it will be approximately $3,000. It's been 2 years since it was done, and it will be approximately $3,000 to jetback all the drains now. Last time it was $2,500, 2 years ago, so it's gone up to $250. So it's something that we can vote on, I guess, either later possibly, or
next
meeting, if we want to set back the storm drains. And
well, that is the extra risk with Monmouth County, so there's no resolution or anything that needs to be done,
right.
But just more of a, an approval.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So if we want to,
well, how does everyone feel about hiring the counties?
Yeah, I think it needs it, but maybe wait until after all the leaves are down.
A while, they don't come all down until the end of November now.
I know. Yeah, but.
All right, so I'll put this on the next meeting, middle of October. I don't know how much time they need to get on the schedule.
Yeah,
I don't
either.
Anybody have any idea?
Well, we can get on the schedule and pay them when they do it.
And finally, I wanted to mention that one of our former residents, who is still pretty active in Roosevelt, in the art scene, and also just she's back in town a lot, she's trying to obtain a grant. She's had this idea for a long time, at least 10 years, but now she has a real chance at receiving a grant to start a radio station, a low-frequency FM radio station as well.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. You got it. You got it.
So I think, I know there's a lot of steps, there are many, many steps for her to take before this could become a reality, before she could even, you know, be awarded the grant. But you may be hearing from her, or I know she's had a few meetings already, try to get a general idea if people in town are interested. I told her she has my full support. I think that would be a great idea. I think it would be for a year, possibly, if, you know, 1 year, just to, the grant, just to have enough money to run it for a year. But anyway, there are many steps. So she will, I'm not sure, I think at this point she is hoping that possibly the council could provide some money. There's a few different things. She needs the backing of a nonprofit group. She may need some funds from the council. So at some point, probably in the near future, she may come here and make a presentation or discuss it. But it's I think it would be great. I think it would be really good.
She's already approached RAP, and we are, you know, willing to help out.
Yeah, apparently she approached RAP 10 years ago, and
right,
it worked,
yes.
But, you know, but she's been talking to me for years about it,
right.
And now she has a lot of help in actually writing, you know, the grant proposal and everything. She, you know, it's hopefully moving forward a little bit. So I just
wonder if she needs to go to the planning board.
Yeah.
The tower wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Oh, it wouldn't be here.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just the lights and light. Yeah.
Oh, the business would be
here.
Right.
Yeah. She's got some great ideas about it, so hopefully it will actually come to fruition. Okay. I'm going to open the floor for public comment on agenda items only at 7:13 p.m. Anyone from the public?
Helen Silverman, Taylor Valley. I want to comment on the open letter I sent to you, and I don't think Steve got one because I ended up sending it to the wrong Steve.
Maybe that's Steve.
Okay.
Okay, and it is about the stormwater control ordinance. I would request that you consider also looking into the Wetlands Institute ordinance. It is more in line with our town's conditions. The New Jersey DEP ordinance is basically basically if you have large-scale development. And since we're not going to have many projects that have over an acre of impervious surface, it won't kick in. We should consider one that considers a smaller development and get more partnership in dealing with our stormwater.
Actually, I asked Carmel if she would comment about that when she gives her presentation.
Okay.
So, thank you.
Hi, good evening. Thank you. My name is Michael Merritt. I live at 6 South Rochdale. And I look forward to talking about other topics at the later part of the meeting, but tonight I wanted to also talk about the stormwater ordinance, and also my wife Hillary Wilder asked me to speak and represent her views as well. She's been working, as I think you know, on the Roosevelt Water Story. So looking at this graph, it's clear, as Ellen was saying, the borough of Roosevelt is not Allentown. And so, an Allentown ordinance that issues large-scale development issues that they are wrestling with today are very different than the issues that we need to think about here and the impact of stormwater in our community. And so I think it would make sense to have the ordinance and supporting materials be more specific. Hillary has an example, for instance, of a map that she's found that shows the recharge rates to different areas of the borough, and that tells us, for example, where stormwater could be stored versus where it will just run off. From my own party, the short time that I've lived in town, I know that stormwater is very impactful to us and creating ongoing problems, so it would be good to have a plan that kind of puts us in that context. I know you've been working with flooding problems in North Valley, flooding in NERCO. I know there's standing water there now. I've been called as a first responder to go close the road because of flooding. I was talking with a neighbor who was clearing storm drains just last week because he had 5 inches of water in his garage. So it's already a problem that is impacting us. I know I live on South Rochdale. There's significant erosion across from my home in the green space there. There's significant erosion at the culvert over Empty Box, and because there's no curb, I am on a weekly basis with these heavy rains recovering parts of my driveway that have been washed by the stormwater from Tamara down towards Empty Box and bringing it back. So, and finally, I know also that wildlife management is an issue for stormwater management. We have some star quality beavers in town, and I understand we've been impacted at the sewer treatment plant by beaver activity and estrogen. So I think it's important that we understand the context of where we are now and how we're likely to be affected in the future by development and changes upstream, as well as the impact that our actions would take on downstream. And Hillary had pointed out some specific questions in the draft and supporting materials, and I can provide a copy of this to the clerk, and either tonight or in the future, hopefully these can be addressed. First, you'd like to point out, as Ellen did, that focusing on the impact of smaller development would be more appropriate here in Roosevelt. I'm also concerned about the possibility of changes in land use in some of our farmlands. Different styles of farming may lead to, for example, greenhouses that could have impact on stormwater. Then specific technical questions, for instance, the municipal stormwater management plan. The document says that we're in compliance, but also that the plan should be updated at the time of each master plan reexamination. On the website, the master plan is dated 2017, but the stormwater plan is dated 2006. So that's an 11-year discrepancy. Is there a stormwater pollution prevention plan? Was a question. And then there was a question in regards to the comments about total maximum daily load, that we're not impacted, but in fact, part of the Rocky Brook watershed in the northern part of town is in a TMDL, so that would seem to be a technical discrepancy that should be cleared up. So thank you.
Anyone else in the public? I'm intrigued. I want to talk. We're going to close the public portion at 7:20 p.m. So the first thing on our agenda is we have a presentation by Cornell Roberts, our municipal engineer. He's going to discuss the stormwater control ordinance and the Tier A stormwater permit requirements. And there's a few other things that we need to talk about with her. Camilla, I'll turn the floor over to you.
Do you want to maybe turn the diagram to the side? So all of
the don't worry about it. Well, the way it is.
Well, this is your program.
Yeah, then if we also we can see.
So, even though the agenda has certain items, the stormwater control ordinance, the letter for the permit, everything is interconnected. And it all ultimately goes to the stormwater permit, the Tier A and the Tier B. And so I think it's really important to start just by understanding what that means. So New Jersey issued stormwater permits beginning in about 2005. Then Roosevelt, from the beginning, was one of about maybe 100 towns in this lower, less rigorous permit category of a Tier B. Everyone else was Tier A. As of January 1, the state determined that every town in the municipality, every municipality, is a Tier A. When Roosevelt found out about this, we objected. He sent a letter to the state asking for an adjudicatory hearing, right, to make our case that Roosevelt should not be pushed into a Tier A, but should remain Tier B. So right now, you're sort of in limbo. Like you're in between. And most recently, as last week, I spoke with the state about this. They said, while you're waiting for your hearing request to process, if there's any part of Tier A that you object to, then we need to specifically request a stay of those requirements. Right? So I'm just going to keep walking you through because this is really a lot to go over. In a Tier B municipality, you've had to adopt ordinances like every other municipality in the state. One of those ordinances, it's the salt storage ordinance you were just required, and there's a tree ordinance coming up. I don't know if you've adopted that or not. The stormwater control ordinance is not specifically a part of your Tier A, but it is part of the DEP overall stormwater regulations. And they are allowing every town in the state to take until next July to adopt. But there's no reason not to. So I'm going to take a little detour. Let's talk about the stormwater control ordinance. It is essentially how development happens in the state, how plans have to be designed to address these regulations. This new ordinance essentially raises the 100-year flood elevation by 2 feet, and it makes changes to rainfall intensity as developments are being designed, and it makes changes to the expectation for how often storms are going to come along. It has specific requirements for impervious cover and roadway cover and different methods to treat. There's stormwater quantity and quality measures that have to be undertaken. So in that overall ordinance, the rule is, and this is for residential and non-residential development now, The rule is, if you disturb more than 1 acre of land, you're subject to that ordinance. Or if you have more than 1/4 acre of new impervious cover, you are subject to this ordinance. In Roosevelt, right, there hasn't been much development. There's not a lot of opportunities for that sort of development. But what usually happens here in Roosevelt is that someone wants to expand a home or driveway or put in a swimming pool, and they come in and they need a variance to do it. Most often, someone is looking for a variance because they are expanding the amount of coverage on their lot to such a degree that they have gone over the limit in the ordinance. And what the planning board does essentially is say, you have to address stormwater in order to receive a variance. And so even though it is not codified in your ordinance, what you actually do is review anything that comes through, anything that needs to go before the planning board. And part of what I do for the borough is appoint these things out to the borough. This new house, maybe it's just barely over the impervious cover, but where they put the new addition is going to throw stormwater onto the neighbor's house over there. And we as a rule make it a requirement for the property owners to either change how they're doing it or install some kind of stormwater control measure. And with that, if we ask, for instance, for a dry well, we actually ask them to evaluate the soil on their property to be sure that if they put a dry well in, that the water can actually percolate and go in for recharge and into the aquifer and not be flooding the neighbors out. So I would say your process that you currently have takes care of the small. And this ordinance, it's a requirement. Everybody has to do it in the state. You can make whatever changes you want. You don't have to make any, but you do need to adopt it. So if, for instance, someone's coming in and they're going to put in big greenhouses, or you have a big cannabis facility that's going to develop, they're going to be subject to this. If you have your neighbors that want to put on a suite for aging parents, then they're coming before the planning board also, and they have to address stormwater as part of the borough's policy. Okay, so moving on, questions? I want to start moving on. In your Tier B stormwater permit, every year you have to submit a certification. It's almost like a checklist. Did you adopt your ordinances? Yes. Did you do public education that the state, of the style that the state requires? Yes. Did your council members do a training? Did your planning board members do a training? Are you taking your vehicles to the car wash to be washed? Have you labeled your storm drain inlets? And it's not much more than that. It's very simple. And do you have a stormwater management plan? Which you do, and it was updated, and it's not on the website, but you got an update because I followed along with the planning board master plan re-examinations. Right. The new stormwater ordinance is what I put together for you in a letter that is 6 pages long. This now, certainly it requires adoption of the municipal stormwater control ordinance. No, check, not hard to do. And we have a municipal stormwater management plan, and you would have to update it regardless. Check. But now there's this thing called the stormwater pollution prevention plan, which accumulates and reports and documents everything else in the 6 pages of this letter that I put together for you. That's usually something handled by the engineer's office. It's what we do for any of the other towns that we provide their engineering for. And I can tell you it is, it's a lot of work and it's tedious. And I think for Roosevelt to put something like this together is, it's going to cost somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000. And then every year it needs to be updated. This year, if you're under the TRA requirement, moving from B to A, you're supposed to submit this by December 31st. I think we should ask for a stay on that. The next page...
I'm sorry, which one was that?
That is the Stormwater Pollution Prevention Plan. Number 3 on page 1.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Can I ask, who asked for the stay? Like a letter from the mayor or from the borough engineer?
Or possibly the attorney? I mean, we are in a legal process at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I would be working with Greg or Christina to say, here are my recommendations for what we should request the stay for. And I think at this point it would go through Greg.
Okay.
Right? Okay. So, the first thing you have to do is create a dedicated web page on your website. Thank you. You have some things on there now. Now you have to put a lot more. And it's got to be dedicated. You have to be able to just get online, take a look, you click, and everything you need will just open up at your fingertips, essentially. You do... local public education, so we would just continue to do that. It's a combination of trainings, or maybe even workshops, or perhaps the kids at school are putting together posters, and we have to accumulate 12 points. You might think this is no big deal, but in all these years, the one thing that Roosevelt was issued a violation about, it was not meeting its education points. And the state came to Roosevelt to meet with us. We had to get those points together, prepare a written response, and say, we won't do this again. Please don't issue a fine. The borough has to designate a stormwater program coordinator, and that person has to go through a training once every 3 years. Now, then there is annual training for employees. So public works, admin, and everything that you'll find in that stormwater pollution prevention plan, you have to prepare a method to sit people down, get them to sign, show what you discussed, because, and it all goes back to your stormwater pollution prevention plan that has everything in it. Got to be documented, and in addition, all council members have to take a training within 6 months of coming on, and then once a term, all planning board, zoning board members have to do trainings, and that is within 6 months of being appointed, and then you follow that up thereafter each year. Okay, so when I put this together, I was trying to make this kind of orderly for us. There's certain things I call admin, certain things of engineering, and certain things public works. Everything we spoke about already is somewhat on the admin side, although I assist the borough with it, on the engineering side, right? So we have to do trainings for the stormwater ordinances. So this new one that the state issued in July, I just had to do a 4-hour update for it. I also have to do a 3-day training every 5 years to stay up to date. And if they change the rules in between, I have to go back and do another training to be updated. And anyone in my office that would participate in doing stormwater reviews for any planning board applications, we all have to be updated and certified for that. we have to assure that any of the developments that come before the planning board meet that stormwater control ordinance. We have to document anything that comes through your planning board in the SPPP every year. We put together the stormwater management plan when needed, and if there is a TMDL, there's a tremendous process to go through to try to remove that. So let me deviate for a moment. The TMDL is somewhat similar to what you do at your sewer treatment plant. The sewage goes in and the state says, well, you have to clean this water, and before you discharge it to the acid tank, it has to be this clean, right? And that's the limit. The same kind of thing is happening on the stormwater level. And the state analyzes streams and waterways all across the state, and when they come to one, to a waterway that could be high in phosphorus and mercury and PCBs in fecal coliform, pick a parameter. If you had a lake and there were geese all over it and those fecal levels were high, the state would issue you a TMDL for fecal coliform, and you would be obligated to analyze that, to prepare a watershed improvement plan, to prepare a watershed inventory, and then begin to take steps to reduce that. Now, I think one of the stays should be on TMDLs, because I think here in Roosevelt, the danger of a TMDL is probably coming off of a farm field somewhere. If you're high in phosphorus, isn't it likely that it is from the many farm fields that are around here? So what exactly are we supposed to do, right, to reduce the levels of phosphorus or prepare a plan to reduce those levels? Does that mean we have to meet with farmers, ask them to modify how they take care of their land? I think we should be asking for a stay on any TMDL, and any of the effort that would go into it by the borough. All right, so let's move on to public works. You, in January 1 of 2026, so it's 2 years from now, you are obligated to have all your streets swept at least 3 times a year. So you will either buy a street sweeper, or you will hire someone to sweep your streets 3 times a year. So any street with an inlet on it, and I'm pretty sure all of them have an inlet at some point. Even if they don't, maybe Oscar doesn't have inlets then. Well, down near the end, Oscar does, right? But if there are not inlets, you still have to sweep those streets 1 time per year. Trying to buy a street sweeper right now is not an easy thing to do because everybody's trying to buy them. And they will cost at least $300,000, if not more, and then you need someone to run them. And you need to own them and maintain them.
This is one of the things the county does on their shared service. So
if they'll do your local roads, and maybe they will, and maybe you could get a better price than hiring someone directly. Mm-hmm. But the county comes up and down Rochdale, and they're actually pretty good, Monmouth County, about it, because in addition to you have to sweep your street at least 3 times a year, if you have a rainfall of a certain intensity, you're also obligated to sweep your streets. And that's why I see the county out so often. Okay. By December 1 of 2020, so 3 years from now. 2027. I'm sorry. Thank you. Every inlet drain, right, the head and the grate, if they are not up to date, every single one of them must be replaced by December 1, 2027, right? I'd like to ask for a stay on this. The borough has been updating these grates and heads each time you do a road project, and it makes good sense for you, and those improvements oftentimes are paid by the grant that you get from DOT. But to have to put together a contract for those curb heads and the grates, each one will cost $800 to $1,200, right, to do this replacement.
Do you know how many we have in town about?
Yeah, I don't. And you've replaced some, but it's a lot of work and it's a lot of money. All right, so now I put a lot of things in this letter because I was in 100% how you operate with the part-time public works that you have. Do you ever apply for the curb size?
No.
Okay, good. For snow plowing?
Yes.
If you put down any kind of salt or sand or any kind of de-icing materials, if when you're at the end of the load you get a big clump on the road, have you ever seen little piles of salt around? Well, now that's got to be removed within 72 hours of the end of the storm.
We just do antifreeze? I don't remember seeing salt.
No, we don't store it.
The county we do have salt.
We do.
How much do we have? Bags?
I haven't snowed in a while.
So you have to change some of your housekeeping. You have to change certain things. Yard waste. Wood waste. What happens to it in Roosevelt?
What was the word you said after
yard waste? Brush. How is it picked up? Where is it stored?
It's not picked up.
It's not picked up.
Well, twice a year we pick up brush.
We pick up sticks,
pick up
brush, but
not
yard waste
or anything like that. No.
Well, it's really not to be stored. It's not to just decompose. Where is it in a heap? I've seen people who dump it off in the woods, and it's just...
We can't get anybody to pick it up for us. We've tried.
Yeah, the cost is prohibitive, if they even agree to.
Well, so here we are with this
another waiver
now.
Yeah.
You can't throw it in the trash.
Yeah, right. So I think we should ask for a stay on that, because it's just a problem trying to comply with this because of where you are, and you can't find someone to help you. You need to develop a program to repair erosion along any roads that don't have curbs. You have to inspect yearly, and if you find a problem, you have to fix it within 90 days. That's beginning January 1st, 2024.
Right. But we can't even get anyone to come in.
Well, and there's the rub. You know, that's why it's so difficult for small towns who used to be Tier B's, who are now in this big group of, you know, it's the same rules that the city of Camden works under, right? Or the township of Hamilton. Just pick any place bigger and just more metropolitan, right? More urban than you are. It's the same permit now, right?
Well, by the time you get done with this, we're going to declare bankruptcy.
It's expensive, but I wanted you to understand.
Where do you get the money for all this?
I think it's really important to understand this.
This is enormously expensive.
And I have to tell you, every council that I stand in front of like this feels the same weight that you are feeling, and the state is not being
very generous.
It's
a
cooperative, surreptitious way of encouraging towns to merge.
Right. Now, all of
you
these things have to be documented. Got to create a log, name, date, what happened, who did it. And those logs and documents become part of the SPPP. And the state is on a mission now to come in and inspect and see what you're doing. And if you don't have your documentation, they want to issue notices of violation, ultimately heading to fines. Okay, so where I think you have, where you're okay, You have no municipal stormwater management facilities. Right? You just have pipes and drains. So we don't have to do anything. But you are obligated to assure that any stormwater management facilities that are privately owned in the borough have an operations and maintenance manual, and they are inspected yearly, and there is a report that comes to the borough that says they are maintaining. Solar Village, do they not have a facility?
No.
Nothing? They just have pipes? Don't they have some kind of stormwater management, a little bit of attention?
Into the
who is that?
Solar Village.
Solar Village.
No.
Nothing.
No.
Just drains into the road.
Just drains to the road like any other property.
Okay. Then I think there are no stormwater management facilities. But let's say you have a cannabis facility that comes in, all right? Or there's a farm that's somehow going to be developed, or a conserved area becomes a winery, right? Something like that happens, and they have a stormwater management facility. Right. As part of the stormwater control ordinance, there's a specific pages of the an operations and maintenance manual has to be prepared, and how that facility is designed. The borough has to maintain a copy of the O&M manuals, and then the borough is obligated to make sure that facility is inspected at least once a year, and that a professional engineer reports to the borough that everything's good. And if everything isn't good, the borough has to follow up and make sure that it gets good. Right? So I've got towns now saying, how are we going to enforce this? And the state says to me, well, you're going to have to issue citations, and you may have to take people to court. So we're not there yet, but the moment you have development, we are there, and we have to prepare a program.
Set fire to the building. Set fire to the building, forget it. I mean, it's outrageous. Absolutely outrageous.
I'm just curious, Carmel, is New Jersey on the forefront of environmental protection, or are most of the towns in the country going this way?
There's a lot happening in the country. I'm not sure if it's exactly the way New Jersey is doing this, but I know there's an underlying federal requirement.
May I tell you something?
New Jersey's a little on the
I just heard on PBS that the federal government is going to promulgate water cleanliness and water regulations, and they're going to be much tougher than any state in the country. Hooray, hooray for us.
Okay, so maintenance yards and other yards. So we got a garage here, we got a sewer plant, we have a water plant, any other place in town where you do anything. Store anything up at your water tower, any of these places, you have to make sure that they're clean and well-maintained. Each site has to be inspected monthly under wet and dry conditions. There has to be a log, the date, time, the location, what you found. Every site needs an inventory list of all materials and machinery.
Who does inspection? Sorry.
Well, if you had it, your public works. Public works. I think it could be Greg Defoe. Probably Greg. I don't think I would ask Mike Lyons or John Holden. Probably good to have the borough overseer go to these sites and inspect.
It seems to me that with all this, it would require kind of a full-time person or at least three lawyers. I don't know. Right now we have
a very part-time
here.
It's a lot. So you have to have a list of all materials and machinery, which could be a source of pollutants.
Yeah.
And any machinery should be stored in a permanent structure, right, not exposed to rainwater. If you have any old equipment, you know, things that no longer operate. I know there used to be something out at the water plant. We clean stuff up. But that sort of thing is no longer allowed because they just get rained on and then they just pollute. Any containers, for instance, at your garage here, they all have to be labeled and there needs to be an inventory. You need to provide spill kits for liquids and dry materials to all of these facilities. If you have any bulk storage of liquids, and this could even be like 55-gallon drum size. Do you have anything like that?
Yeah,
I think you might.
Sewer treatment plant.
Okay, so you have to have either double wall system, or you have to have a container around it big enough to hold 110% of what that tank holds. And it has to be covered either inside, or it has to be covered so rainwater can't get into this overflow containment area so that you have enough volume in case there's a leak. And each of these places where you store bulk liquid have to be visually inspected, and if there's stormwater, you got to get rid of it. So, vehicle maintenance. If any vehicle maintenance is done here in the borough, you probably just can't do that anymore.
Yeah,
you don't do it.
Yeah.
All right. Leaves. What do you do? How do you pick up? Do you store anything anywhere?
Mm-hmm.
Leaves are not to be stored within 50 feet of inlets, water bodies, ditches.
What do you mean by stored?
Well, how do you put your leaves out at the curb line in
no.
the fall? How do you get rid of leaves here?
You don't.
You just
mulch it.
Okay.
Give them to Ellen. Right.
Just watch them fall and
right. Yeah.
All
right. So if you are doing street sweeping, if you are doing pipeline cleanouts like the county said they could do for you, then you have to store whatever you take out in leak-proof containers. You got to remove everything within 6 months.
Where did it go?
Wherever. You're going to have to hire someone to dispose of it at a landfill.
Right. Sorry, Cardinal, I'm uncertain. What are you removing that needs to be stored?
The street sweepings, the dirt. The dirt, the grit from sand from the street, or what's in the storm pipes. Leaves, more dirt, more rocks.
So organic material you need to send to a landfill.
It's not just organic. And it could be rocks, right? It could be somebody threw a shoe down the pipe. There's all kinds of stuff that pops up. Whatever it is, you have to store it so it doesn't get rained on. And then you dispose it where it should properly be disposed. Scrap tires. You've got to make pretty much, don't have scrap tires anymore.
No.
Right. Any old vehicles that no longer operate.
Yep.
And outdoor refuse containers and dumpsters. They're all to be covered up at all times. So.
Now, when you say, like, the vehicles or scrap tires, just what's on the borough has, what's on borough property, not individual residents.
Yeah, you're not going to be going to everyone's house. This is what the borough itself is doing, your operations.
Okay.
Sewer plant, water plant here at this borough hall and up at the water tower.
One less.
Right. Okay, so next. This is what's called mapping and scour and illicit discharge. You are to develop a program to investigate your outfall pipes. right, to look at them twice a year and see if there's erosion or scour or problems. You're also supposed to have an outfall map created, but I don't think we know where everything is. Some of these things are buried or underwater or under leaves, or but you're to develop a program to look at these multiple times a year and repair them if you see that there's a problem, and those repairs are to be completed within 12 months, right? Along with all the documentation of we went and we looked and on this date we saw a problem and we're going to move forward and hire this contractor to do something. Okay. Moving on. I'm at the bottom of page 5,
what,
so
what
we're almost done.
What is an outfall?
It's the last point in a pipeline, starting from the drain in the street. Pipe runs to a waterway, a ditch, a stream. And that point where the pipe meets the stream is the outfall. Okay. You are to implement an illicit discharge detection program. And that really means, you know, look in your inlets and look at your outfalls. And if you see something or smell something that isn't right, you're obligated to investigate and find out what it is, where it came from, and stop it. Sometimes people put oil, right? If you see a sheen, you document it and you search. You go back and do your best to find it. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. But it's all about documentation. So all these things I spoke about, they each have a different timeline for starting and stopping. Your illicit connection program should begin January 1, 2024. Most of the other things we spoke about, secondary containment, street sweeping, vehicles that are dead and dying, all these things should be in effect right now. Anything else is as of January 1. So I would just like to take a little more time at my office. I'll send a recommendation to Greg on the things that we want to stay on. Right? But I think we want to ask for the stays because apparently those are the only things, once you ask for it, you then are not subject to it, so you won't be fined or violation issued to you because you didn't follow it. Anything you don't ask for a stay on, you could potentially be cited as not having complied. And then we still have to go through the adjudicatory hearing and find out what we can get the state to compromise on. Not that I can see. And you are the only one that I heard about that asked for a hearing. And it took a little while even for the DEP, you've got an enforcement officer. She didn't know what to do about it. She had to get back to me after she went to her superiors, and they said, you got to request the stay. Right? That's the only way to protect. But now...
staying on everything.
Yeah. Do you recall the borough received a grant recently?
Yeah.
So Tier B towns who became Tier A are eligible for $75,000 to help you with this. And that would help, but it won't be enough, and it certainly won't help in the years that are coming that will never end. But what you received was $25,000, and when you complete your stormwater infrastructure mapping, if you send that to the state, they'll give you the next $50,000, and you'll have your $75,000. Now, I gave the borough price of $6,500 to complete your infrastructure map. If you remain a Tier B, you will have to give back the money they gave you. If you go to Tier A, you're going to need it. You'll have to keep it. But now, in addition to the stays that we are requesting, you've currently got $25,000 in hand, You're not going to get the 50 until you complete the map. And you need to think about, I would think, just, like, don't do anything. We can, I don't know, should I even finish the map at this point, right? It's $6,500. We've been doing a little bit of your stormwater system over the years, and we're about 50 to 60% done, and this would wrap it up. But there are no simple answers to any of this, right? Everything's got a give and a take, a good and a bad. If you get your system mapped, and it would be a good thing because you've got your sewer mapped and you have your water system mapped, and this would be your stormwater system, all mapped out, and it's great for records and planning and knowing what you have. So you can use the $25,000 to pay the $6,500 and then sit on the rest and go through an adjudicatory hearing and see what you get from the state. I don't have anything to base this on other than just watching and judgment. I think you may get some stays, but I think what you're ultimately going to get with this adjudicatory hearing is a delay of when certain things have to be done. That's my wild guess. I don't think they're going to say, okay,
such a nice town.
Right. You can stay. It's really a burden. Forget stormwater and Roosevelt. I think they're going to push, right, as hard as they can. And you're going to push back with how you operate, you know, what little you have, and do the best you can. And on the hard things, you're going to say, we can't do this in 3 years. We need 6 years. Whatever timeline you think.
Cornell, I know you can't really answer this, but do you have a ballpark? If we have to comply with almost everything, depending on how many stays we're given, but just everything you just explained to us, for purposes of like budgeting, like the budget talks, you know, it's not too far off, how much money do you think we would need a year? Like, whether it's to hire, you know, public works, full-time public works?
Assuming you get to 75,000.
And also...
that's just a one-time.
That's just a one-time.
That's what I'm saying.
Also,
right.
You said we need to have a stormwater coordinator.
Right.
Is that a paid position?
Right.
I can't imagine.
It doesn't have to be. So in some towns, it's the administrator. In one town, they just ask me to do it. And I'm not really keen on it. I said yes, of course, right? But that's just more expense to the town. To have me be the lead, right?
It seems
on
like
all of this.
An enormous amount of work for a volunteer.
It is too much for a volunteer,
yeah.
And a lot of this is record keeping, but you also need somebody outside, knowledgeable, and someone who's going to be going around doing the inspections, labeling things, making sure things are properly maintained and organized and reported. So, it's like another half person inside and another half person outside. And then there's engineering that comes with this, right? So,
that would be the first year, but it's ongoing.
It's ongoing, yeah.
So it's, you know,
it's
$75,000.
Yeah,
that would be a lot of petty cash.
We'll have to a lot of money every year.
Your big, your hardest expenses, I think it's street sweeping.
Yeah.
It's, and you're going to have to clean your pipes every year now. Mm-hmm. Not every couple. Every year, I think it might be twice a year. You at least have to inspect if there's a problem, you got to clean, and you got to document. Your street sweeping is expensive. Changing all the drains and the heads. If we could just push that into just allow us to make the change as we get grants from DOT, that'd be fabulous, right? That that he could do, and that's reasonable.
Well, we've, as far as the roads are concerned, we're practically done with the roads. We won't have to the drains will be done.
You're pretty well along on
right,
roads.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. So it's inventorying things, and the setup is a lot, mm-hmm. right? That initial effort, plus somebody's got to corral council members, planning board members, get you trained, document it. When you issue a pet license, dogs, cats, whatever, you got to hand out a pet waste form. And if you don't, it's a black mark against you. It's one of the questions that's asked every year. Did you hand out a pet waste flyer with every license issued?
We also put it in our borough bulletin every month.
Yeah, but that doesn't qualify. It's you've got a license, here's your form. Pick up after your pet, and here's why you should.
Is this going to affect our road programs in any way as far as what we're going to have to install as far as storm drainage, or like, are they going to require us to do like jellyfish or bay savers or anything like that?
No. This is just the inlet heads. That's all you have to do right now. But I think it's a good point, because I think someday in the future they're going to want you to do that before the water goes out into the streams. I think that's the future for sure.
Yeah.
That doesn't take us over the top.
Every one of those needs to be maintained. You're saying, it's not just the installation. Mm-hmm. The installation is cheap.
Now think about the outfalls, the discharge pipes.
Yeah.
Number one, where are they? Yeah. Right? We've got to find them. Any that are all eroded, or maybe the pipes dropped. And all your pipes are near waterways, and they're near wetlands, and they're near flood areas. So it's a lot. It's permitting in order to get that work done. And to get to these places, oftentimes you have to go through wetlands.
Yeah.
So it's hard for a contractor to get there, and it just makes the repair all that much more expensive. So that's all the news tonight.
Is this in every town that you deliver this information? Do you need it to silence head shaking?
Welcome to bureaucracy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'll agree. Go ahead, Ellen. You can ask me your seat. That's it.
Ellen Silverman, 10 North Valley. First of all, yes, the state's asking you to do this, but it's because they're getting pressure from the federal government. When they set up the Tier B, the federal government says, don't do that. If you do that, your water is not going to improve. That was back more than 10 years ago, and that proved to be true. Our water in the big cities did improve, but the pollution level in our streams and rivers did not. And so they said, you have to monitor this everywhere. As for the 75,000 that you're getting, it may not be a one-time thing. Tier A has been getting grants for the last 3 years from the NJDEP because they know that it's a difficult thing and that these towns need to set it up. Setup charge is going to be a lot, but a lot of things that you said are best practices that I know you're already doing, and that you don't want to ignore the pollution. You want to be a good steward. Now, when it comes to street cleaning, Millstone has to do the same thing. It's time to talk to them, see if they want to do a partnership where one town has the street cleaning equipment, and they include the other.
shared cost. It doesn't have to be the burden just on us. We have to work together, not only in the town, Watershed Institute, throughout the whole thing. All of these are beneficial to the environment and something that we all care about.
I don't think anyone is disputing that at all.
No, I know. You have a cost. You have a tremendous amount of cost. But I don't think the state is going to buy you much time, and how much legal cost are you going to have for that? Would it be better to use that money to get in compliance? Oh, and by the way, we have been doing education that can be applied to that. I just need to know where that can be put in so it can be on our documentation.
Great, that should come into Borough Hall. But the borough's been really good on education for some years now, but we can have lots of points.
Yes, the point is that's not something, I mean, if we all work together. The Environmental Commission works with the Planning Board, with the Council, with the town, with Millstone, with Watershed. I think this is doable. Let's not put our head in the sand and ask them to keep treating us in a place that's no longer there.
Thank you. Does anyone from the table have any questions for Carmella or anything they want
to... Oh, you may.
Yeah, I have a lot, but
yeah.
It's going to have to wait.
Yeah.
And as we go along, I want to look at what the requirements are, like for the 110% containment of any bulk liquid storage.
Right. So there are no particular requirements. You just have to make sure it doesn't leak. So, for instance, in one town,
they're
just going to use block.
Okay.
And put in a plastic, you know, cover big enough to take 110%, put their storage tanks inside it.
Okay.
And then store it in a garage. Just have to make sure it doesn't leak. But it doesn't have to be something fancy.
Good.
I think our one big thing is the, and I think we've kind of taken care of that, is the diesel generator. Most of our generators are natural gas, but we do have the one diesel.
Yeah. And that's it's covered.
And we put a roof over that recently.
Good. I would think the sewer plant and the water plant are places to take a good long look. The water plant's pretty good.
How about sump pump discharge?
That is... acceptable under your stormwater permit. It's not regularly, but within your own code, I believe some pump discharge is covered. Sometimes it is. Like it should go out your back door. It shouldn't go through a curb line. It shouldn't go to your neighbor's property.
Well, the problem is like if you throw it out your back door. A lot of times all you're doing is recirculating it. You throw it out into the backyard, it soaks into the ground, comes back, you pump it out again.
Well, understood, but there are only so many places, right? If you go to the side, you're dumping your water on your neighbors, and we don't want that. Then if you go to the street or you go to a curb line, it's going to be an icing problem. It's water in the warm weather, and it's ice in the cold weather, and that's awful, also. Right, so some pumps are a lot different than, say, having your downspouts go through the curb line because downspouts are wet when it rains, you know, but some pumps, they just keep rolling.
But it's better than having them connect them to the sanitary sewer system like you have in a lot of towns.
That's awful. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't need that here. Goodness.
Yeah, we don't have many.
One of the things that occurs to me is because all towns have to comply with all of these regulations. We're not the only ones. Everybody around here is scrambling now, I'm sure, and worried about it. But that gives us an opportunity to do more shared services. And we do a lot now, but we can do more with other towns, possibly, like Alan suggested. You know, somebody has a street sweeper. Great, create a shared services thing with a few towns for that. Maybe a program coordinator that could be a shared program coordinator to do a lot of the paperwork to make sure there's compliance. A compliance kind of person for that, and we could share that too with some of the other towns. So I think there are opportunities that are here, and it's just like anything else that we've had to deal with that's been really expensive. We've looked for shared services. We can't afford to do everything on our own.
I think it would behoove us to have a full-time public works person.
We've been needing that for a while.
Yeah. And honestly, Greg's been wanting to retire. And I just tell him, no.
Can we talk Greg Pastille out of retirement to do this? Because he would be perfect for it.
Yeah. We could try, but I have literally forbade Greg Pastille retiring. So, Carmel, as long as you're here and we're talking about leaking, can you, I received a text, an email from Carmel, and she wondered why we had not acted upon Sister's quote to do the work at the sewage treatment plant. It's leaking. Do you want to, would you just explain? Since the council was not willing to declare an emergency and they wanted to go out to bid, they believe that you had already done the bid specs. Do you want to explain that to them?
The understanding that I had is you recommended repairs, not total replacement necessarily, of the roof. Is that correct?
Well, not exactly.
No. Okay.
So let's go back 2 years now.
Right. Yeah.
And I got up on the roof. Your roof's leaking. It's got some low spots. There are drains that catch leaves and get clogged.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And at that time, you got a proposal from Fister, is the name.
Mm-hmm.
I went up and took a look. It just makes sense to have someone come in and level, just put a small slant on that roof so that we don't have those low spots and these puddles there anymore. And Fister provided a proposal to do that. I reviewed that proposal 2 years ago, and it looked just fine to me.
Mm-hmm.
But they were planning. There was talk at one point of, you know, putting a roof, or I misunderstood. Like, but
yeah.
We just can't do that there because we've got an access way. We need to be able to get tanks in and out.
Yeah.
And
also, in our historic.
Well, that's right. All of the borough-owned buildings are contributing structures for your historic designation. None of your houses are, and maybe this is old news to all of you, right? So you can do whatever you want to your own home here in Roosevelt. It does not matter. The state has no jurisdiction, but roads and the borough-owned buildings are under the State Historic Preservation Office, and they really can't be changed because they are part of what got you your designation as a historic location. And for instance, we wanted to make some changes to the aerator at the water plant when it was being upgraded, and the state said enough to fix it. So we did. So that building, I wouldn't want to change the look of that building at all. I just want to change the slope to get rid of the low spots and the puddles and put a better, like a netting of some sort to prevent leaves from getting into the pipes and clogging. So all I did 2 years ago was go take a look, see what everything was, read the proposals, and I thought the Fister proposal was really good. And that's where we are today.
Well, now, okay, so it's 2 years later, and his price increased to $29,000, which is above the threshold. So the council was interested in you putting together bid specs to go out to bid.
Right. Well, so I can tell you your costs are going to increase.
noticeably at this point to put specifications together for a roof, and advertise for bids is going to take some effort. But also, now that we are advertising for bid, this project has to be completed by using labor paid prevailing wages. And then there are all those other costs that come with public advertisement, right? There are bonds, there are insurance, there's maintenance ongoing. So that $29,000 cost, that could be 60 or 70 or more. I mean, I think the engineering is going to be somewhere between 5 and 10, maybe 12,000. To get it into the condition, right, that it goes out on the street and everybody is bidding on the same thing, and then $29,000, let's add prevailing wages to that plus the cost of a public contract. So that will be 50 to 75% higher. I don't think it will be double. I don't think it's a total of 60,000, but I would think it's 50 plus.
Is there anything that keeps us from getting prices without going through the entire bid process?
There are only two ways to do it. It's either through quotes.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, right now we have one quote.
We did go out. Well, let's
go. No, you don't have to receive quotes, you have to try to get them.
Right.
And you went to six or seven.
Yeah, six or seven. Only six responded, and that is considered going
right
after quotes.
Yeah, but you're over the limit.
I am.
Oh, right. Your trouble is that your limit for quotes is $17,500 because you don't have a qualified purchasing agent. If the borough did, then your limit jumps to $44,500. And then you'd be fine, right?
So,
but is there a way to get a QPA? Is there a way to share service a QPA?
Something we could look into. But for now, can we make a case for an emergency expenditure, what we've been talking about for a while?
Well, if you considered it an emergency 2 years ago, I would think it's still an emergency. And under an emergency declaration, you could award that contract to Pfister. Whether they were the only one you asked for a price, or whether you asked six other companies to do that.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions?
By the way, I've got all the companies, three or four. Only Pfister is the only one that responded.
Yeah, well, a couple of people said they would come and never showed up.
That's right.
And yeah, Pfister was the only one.
Not every company does flat roofs. You know, a lot of them want to stay away from flat roofs.
Yeah, a few never showed up, and one said he doesn't do flat roofs. So, yeah, but that's considered a quote when they say no. I mean, that's considered
right
a response when they say no, or they don't call back or show up. Okay, any last questions or anything for Carmela?
Well, we have the municipal stormwater control ordinance that you set, so that has to be discussed. And then we never adopted, but we do have the yard waste, the salt storage, wild feeding ordinance.
But we're obligated to adopt it, right?
Those are three that we set for
a year.
Yes. So they're on tonight.
Yeah.
If anybody had any questions before she
left. Are there any other ordinances that we need to comply with other than the ones that we have on our docket?
No.
Okay.
I sent you the full list.
Okay.
So these are the only ones that we don't have.
So, Carmela, you heard what Ellen had to say. What is your position? Are you still saying that we should do the stays, or that we should go ahead and try to do what we have to do and
so
get ourselves?
So I don't think it's an either or, and I did not stand up there and say don't do this, right? Don't try to comply. What I'm discussing is the
the cost of this and the effort it's going to take to get up and running, especially with a town that's got a very small staff. And I think the stays could be helpful in helping you to have the money at a pace that you can manage it, moving towards, right, doing this. I think the future is you're going to end up someday as a tier A. And as I said during my discussion, I think what's going to happen here is you're going to be a tier A, possibly on a different schedule. And if you got that, I think that's really good for the borough. So it's not a matter of we don't want to comply, or I'm saying you shouldn't. I'm saying it's a lot. We all have to figure out how to make it happen, and you have to work it into your budget and a time frame that's reasonable.
With baby steps.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carmel. I really appreciate that. Okay, correspondence. We have a letter from Robert Engineering dated September 5th, 2023, regarding stormwater control ordinance, which I think we're all very familiar with now. And a letter from Robert Engineering dated September 12th, 2023, regarding the MS4 Tier A stormwater permit. Thank you. Requirement, I'm sorry. We'll take a minute. We have.
We also have one from the correspondence from the Environmental Commission.
Usually we have all correspondence is what comes directly to the borough and not. But you sent yours to everyone, didn't you? So I think you're aware of it.
So yes, but I would like that on the record.
No problem. You can add that in.
Are you talking about the letter?
Yes.
Yeah. So you sent it after I already sent the agenda out, so...
Yes, yes. Just as long as it gets on the record.
Yeah. I'll just add that. So it's a letter commenting on the stormwater ordinance dated November 15th, 2023.
Wait,
from November. Did I say November?
That's your time traveling here.
Yeah.
You
just want to get through the next few months really quickly.
September 15th. All right, I will definitely add that.
Okay, we have the minutes from August 21st, 2023, the regular meeting minutes. Do I have a motion to adopt?
I'll make a motion to adopt.
Second.
I'll second it.
I'm sorry, that was Mike and first, and then Bob second.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay, roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Ernstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
The minutes from August 21st, 2023 have been adopted. We have the minutes from September 5th, 2023, regular meeting minutes. Do I have a motion?
Yes.
Could we change something in there which says under administration, it says 39 cards backed up, and it should be cars. Okay.
Let me see. I did pick that up, but maybe I didn't see it. What page is that?
It's the page three.
Oh yeah, I thought I changed that. Okay, okay, thank you very much.
Yep. Okay.
Sure you weren't playing cards, Lou?
Okay.
So, Lou, are you good with amending your ordinance?
Yep.
Okay.
Is there any discussion for September?
Wait, I didn't get a second, or did I?
Yes, I think you did. Yep.
And you're good with that, too?
Yes.
Okay. No, he doesn't have cards. Any discussion?
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Essicott?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
And Mr. Mott?
Yes.
Okay. The minutes of September 5th, 2023 have been adopted. Ordinances. This is the second reading and public hearing of Bond Ordinance 2023-08,
bond ordinance amending in part bond ordinance number 2022-04, adopted on May 2nd, 2022, providing for improvements to Tamara Drive between Pine Drive and South Rochdale Avenue in order to increase the appropriation thereof by $140,000 for a total appropriation of $559,000 to increase the authorized bonds and notes to be issued to finance a portion of the cost thereof by $140,000 for a total debt authorization of $559,000 and to increase the allocation of the appropriation to costs permitted under NJSA 40A, 2-20, authorized in and by the Borough of Roosevelt in the County of Monmouth, New Jersey.
So moved.
Well, first we have to have a public hearing here in a public comment section.
Open the public hearing at 8:30 p.m. Is there anyone from the public who would like to ask questions, express opinions, concerns, anything at all regarding this bond ordinance for our road improvements? Seeing none, I will close the public portion at 8:30. Now, do I have a motion? Second?
I'll second.
Discussion?
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Ezekwa?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hergstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
All right. Bond ordinance 2023-08 has been adopted. We have the second reading and public hearing of ordinance 2023-09 and ordinance amending Chapter 2, Administration, Article 7, Administrative Fees, Subsection 2-59, Borough Hall Use. Open the public hearing at 8:31. Anyone from the public like to discuss this? Or question?
Hi, Michael Merritt, 6th South Rochdale. So I've been at several meetings making use of this space, and I want under the next section to discuss with you some ideas about, I understand, this other space that may be adaptable for public use in this building, which I think would be great. So I think this is a very valuable resource, and I appreciate the opportunity to use it. I have a question. I think I've had a glass of wine in this space previously, and I noticed the ordinance
eliminates alcohol.
So is that a change to update to eliminate alcohol? So I'm curious as to the rationale and why that change is being made now.
Well, GIF insurance.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's an insurance company.
I mean, I moved here from Mendham where they also have GIF insurance. And they just raised $22,000 for the fire department with a clam bake, and I tell you, there was plenty of alcohol.
They're much larger town.
Being served by the deputy mayor. So, I don't know how the cost benefit works, but I think that, you know, it's a significant
generally have fundraisers here. Generally, either residents use this space for parties that they have. We don't have police here to oversee anything. We don't have a public works person who can sort of be around for the parties. Then we have different community events.
Right.
But we felt that it was prohibitive to have alcohol.
Okay. I'd be curious to find out what the economics actually are, because there's very few, if any, other options here in the town.
This is it.
And it really reduces the attractiveness of this for,
for a school. There's a school.
Well, of course, it's the only public one.
Also, I just wanted to say that it's not finalized that will be a public space. It's just in discussion.
I understand.
Dire need for a conference room for some additional desks. Okay. So
okay.
It's not, it's in the talking stage. Okay. Anyone else from the public? Okay. Close the public portion at 8:34. And do I have a motion?
Yep.
Second?
I'll second.
Discussion?
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
And Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Right. Ordinance 2023-09 has been adopted. Consent agenda resolutions. We have two resolutions on for tonight. Resolution 23-99, payment of bills for September 18th, 2023. And Resolution 23-100, resolution authorizing the borough engineer to request a six-month extension from the New Jersey Department of Transportation in connection with the grant received for improvements to Tamara Drive.
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Okay, resolution has passed. Report of committee chairs. Councilmember Atwood, Environmental Health and Safety?
Nothing at the moment.
Councilmember Esikoff, Administration?
We're still here.
Councilmember Hamilton, Finance?
We'll wait till the next meeting. To we have a lot to tally
up.
I think
I'll be out that day. I think I'm going to be sick. Okay.
Yeah.
Councilmember Hurston, Community Development?
The only thing that I have to say is Michael Merritt had wanted me to share with the Borough Council that the appreciation for customer service at Lakeland Bank in getting us access to the money, finally. It was Eva.
For senior citizens?
Yes, for the senior citizens, yep. The Eva Teller and Joanne Nichols were
well,
very helpful.
Teller and she works at the bank?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, just clarifying that.
That's great. Yeah.
That's
yes,
good.
It
Bill
is.
Counterman.
Yeah, Bill yes. Counterman.
So they were able to give us access to getting old copies of statements all the way back so that we could see where some of this money came from, or at least knowing when it was put in, exactly what it was. It wasn't on the statement itself. So anyway, we just wanted to note, you know, just their speed and thoroughness was outstanding.
So noted.
Okay.
Councilmember Mocker, Public Works.
Oh, we've been working hard.
we
cleaned the storm drains after the storm last week. They perform monthly safety inspections on the four buildings, and they installed a new eye wash at the water treatment plant.
Whoopee.
Ellen Silverman, 10 North Valley. Well, the Environmental Commission very disagrees. First of all, I want to discuss cool things that are happening this fall. Dessert and discussion has been going on all year, and it's really, you know, coming into the fall very strongly. September 26th, we're going to have a woodlot skill presentation.
What kind of?
Woodlot.
Woodlot, L-O-T?
Yes. I'm going to give this to you so you don't have to write a lot of notes. This one and the next one, which will be more use of wood, will be at the Tysis House for tomorrow, which I don't remember the address right away. I'll just go to Dave Tysis House.
No one knows the address. It's here. Did you get it?
So
okay.
41 tomorrow?
What Bob said. Okay. The other thing that is going on strong as an event is the Roosevelt Seed Library. Every Saturday from 12 to 5, from September through November, we have a crop swap where if you have extra things in your garden, you bring it and put it on the table. And if you see something on that table that you would like, you take it and the swap. Okay. There's also the seed library itself. A lot of native seeds are in there, also some vegetable seeds, but I only put out the ones that are good for fall gardens because it's really humid outside and that's not really good for seeds. The third table at the same event is the plant swap, which is take one, leave one program. And all of that will be at 10 North Valley, and those are the Saturdays, 12th to 5, September through November. There will also be workshops at 10 North Valley. By the way, that person knows they're there. It's mine. September 30th will be on saving seeds, and it'll be primarily native seeds. And then November 7th, we'll have a workshop on winter gardening indoors, which will be somehow sprouts and microgreens.
Yeah.
And then January 10th will be a winter sowing workshop, which will primarily deal with native seeds. The environmental, and I'll do that to Kathleen too.
Thank you.
I'm not sure if I should say this is the mayor, Ellen, because it's not neutral. I just think you have the most amazing garden I've ever seen.
Well, are you going to come to the Art and Garden Tour?
When is it?
This Saturday.
This Saturday?
I won't be here.
Maybe you're right. But I just think I've never walked by it without just feeling happy. It's just such an amazing...
Could be Sunday if we have rain.
Yeah. It's also possible to be done.
It always rains.
Okay, back to what the Environmental Commission is doing. We're getting a little more closely with the Millstone Environmental Commission, and we're talking about doing stuff. And with them, we're working with the Wetlands Watershed Institute to do things. Also, we already do stream testing, and we do stream cleanups at the same organization. So we work together on other things too. So that's a real cool collaboration that we should hear more about. The tree inventory. I just finally got the grant from the forester that would be able to do the forest one. I sent the information to you to. We're going to have to act on it quickly because for us to keep that grant money, that has to be finished by the end of this year. So she would like to start doing her work in like the third week in October. And we have to get out the information to the residents to say, please don't shoot the people counting the trees. They're supposed to. Okay. And so we have that, and as part of the grant, and because we just thought it would be really cool, we're doing a video on the importance of trees in Roosevelt, and we're going to film interviews with important people like you, Peggy.
I have trees on my license plate.
Yes, but now you're going to have to talk about the tree ordinance because you're the big hot show. And so we're going to try to schedule time for you to do yours. And we like to do all these interviews outside under a tree. Or in a tree. If you want to do it in my treehouse, that's fine, Peggy. We'll set you up with the camera up there. So we have that. And... in case you were wondering what we were talking about, this is some of the questions that we generated. And, you know, makeup is optional.
My gown and heels.
I don't know how you design a tree house and gown and heels. Okay. And so we'll be... definitely check in on the trails, because after all that rain, there's going to be some shifting going on, and we need to have it ready for the art walk coming up in October 14th.
Yeah,
well, it's like the second Saturday. Okay. Lots going on in town.
get out and...
I don't want to get into a long discussion and late, but, you know, you've been working closely with the Watershed Institute,
mm-hmm.
so I know about, it was before the pandemic, so I'm going to say maybe February of 19, so that was, you know, almost 4 years ago, no, almost 5 years ago, Mike and I went to a Millstone Planning Board, zoning board meeting, where they approved that huge, at Yoli's Corner, housing complex. Now, at the time, the Watershed Institute was firmly against it because of how much, well, a variety of things, but how much impervious surface, and plus that place, most of the residents, most people in Roosevelt worked in that, on that, for Dave Bainan, at one point in their lives, everyone's worked there, everyone's lived, it's not wet, it's a river from end to end, they didn't understand how it could possibly be approved, or how they would possibly, no matter how many dry wells they put in, but are they still, I mean, it seems to me that, and then someone else in town, who's sort of knowledgeable in these areas, said that they didn't think it would ever pass. But now I hear the ground is breaking.
For that, their, that's that area that they're trying to put in,
the sewer plant?
No. They want to put in the housing, and the way the builders got into it is because some of it is for affordable housing.
Yeah.
Okay. The builders that are building that have very questionable.
No, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. But they have a very active lawyer group that's working with them, and it was suing them to get it passed.
Yeah, of course.
And because of the way the laws of affordable housing works, they're supposed to allow them to cut some corners if they feel that it is
beneficial to
the public to get the affordable housing in. And they were saying that they wanted to cut with any environmental study.
They wanted to what?
To cut all the environmental studies that would deal with that.
What? Was that approved?
I don't think that's going to get approved.
Well, it's being fought.
It'll be fought.
But
yeah.
It's lawyers against lawyers.
Yeah.
And that's been going on for over 2 years.
Yeah, well, this meeting was almost 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So is the watershed still involved?
Yep.
Yeah, good.
Mike Pizarro goes.
Yeah, that's where we met that night.
Yeah.
And with all the new stormwater regulations.
Well, I'm hoping that will work.
Well, they also want to put in a... Oh, gosh, this is really not... Maybe we should talk about this. We'll talk about this later, Peggy.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, they have to put in a sewer treatment plant, a little portable, small sewer treatment plant.
Yeah, but it's questionable whether that would work, and they've done it in different parts of the state that have not.
Well, that's what I was going to get into, but we won't.
Yeah.
But I think they may have some problems there.
Well, hopefully, as these lawyers fight it out, we'll end up with a positive outcome. Okay. Unfinished business. We have draft ordinances for yard waste, soft storage, and wildlife feeding, which... Can we just put that on the agenda for the next meeting so that the board doesn't have to adopt them? I don't have a choice.
What are you saying? You're saying to put the introduction on the next
thing?
Or did you guys want to discuss?
I have some questions about some of it. But
we could put it on and discuss it.
Like wildlife feeding, does that mean you can't put bird feeders in?
No, from what I understand, bird feeding is exempt. I think we can't feed raccoons and buffalo and deer and the bird feeding system. So, maybe there are some other exemptions, I'm not sure, but you can put it on and then discuss it. If you couldn't feed birds, I would.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. I think I should say we really need to pass the bill. That the forester, or the coach, or whatever it is, the forester, and then it's within the money that is there for the grant.
Right.
That $1,000 would be a consultant for a year or so if we wanted him. Because she can't start until it's approved by the council. So if that could go on the next meeting.
Yeah.
Because that would be the only meeting before the middle of October.
Yeah, just a minute on, right?
No, she sent it to me today or whenever.
Okay.
I just...
Okay. Yeah, that would be October 2nd, I think it is.
Yeah, October 2nd.
Yeah,
the next one.
Get that to her so she can get going.
Sure.
Yeah. I'll send it out to George because George has to certify the funds and whatnot.
Right. Anyone else have any other unfinished business they'd like to?
Do we need a resolution for Jeff Packing and the storm drains, or is that? I know it's not covered under shared services.
No, we just needed everyone to say, go ahead and do it.
That's a shared service. Yeah. With
but do we need a resolution to do it or no?
I don't think so. It's one of the...
it should be okay. Just
one of the order. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you have to let them, county know, and you have to let them know.
Okay.
Do you want to do that tonight or wait till October 2nd and...
Well, we can order it.
Tell them.
You could, I mean, if you want to memorialize it, you could do it in a resolution, or but if there's a consensus and it's a shared service, then you could just.
All right, so let's just tell them. Call them and tell them you need it.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
Let me put this down. So they may require a resolution, but if not, then.
No, they haven't formed the county.
I don't think we have.
So long
not
as they
for
don't
sure. Not for shared services.
Okay. Jeff Back, County.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have a first motion?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, to move forward, that was $3,500, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, $3,000.
$3,000. It was $2,500 before, I think.
And you know that's an estimate. I mean, they try to take an estimate, so, okay.
New business, we have bulk trash pickup for the October 16th this year. I also wanted to mention, we have the a concert and barbecue is coming Saturday in the evening at 5 to 7 p.m. It's supposed to be a wonderful band, and because we have our own, we call them grills now, the grilling hot dogs, and hopefully it is supposed to be a nice day, so hopefully it will all be. So this way, people can do the artwork in the afternoon and come to the concert at night. So hopefully,
you know, have a rain date.
Yeah,
so I'm not sure when the wedding is. The wedding.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
We could do some weddings that day. Like I'm going to reference Sun and Moon used to marry like 5,000 couples at once.
Yeah, at a barbecue. Yeah,
and a barbecue. Well, according to this weather app, should be, we'll see. Pure sun, good time. Now it says breezy and becoming rainy, but it's only Monday, so we'll see. And then Sunday, rain possible, which is every day anymore, so. And one thing I forgot to mention before is that I had gotten a call about a rabid raccoon in someone's backyard, so I just wanted to remind everyone that if you... Whether, you know, if it's a rabid animal, if it's a stray, whatever it is, you can go on the website and there's the animal control number is on there, as well as Assinpink Wildlife. So you could try either number depending on what animal you're concerned about.
I did want to add that if you see a raccoon or a possum during the daytime,
that's
unusual. They could be rabid.
They try to approach you usually.
Yeah, I would definitely call them.
Yeah.
Stay away from them.
Now, the one the other day, they called me to see who they should call, but while they were on the phone with me, they said, never mind, it hobbled back into the woods and they'll never find it. but both numbers are on the website, our own animal control and African Wildlife. And, okay, so I'm going to open the floor for public comment on any at 8:54 p.m.
Thank you. Michael Merritt, 6th First Deal.
You say Rochdale,
say it again, and I'll try. Rochdale. I'm So I'm still new. I mean, I know you can be here 30 years and still be new. Hillary and I moved here last year in April. I wanted to begin by thanking you all for your service to the community. We're certainly, you know, delighting in our neighbors and in all the many activities, many of which are sponsored through the organization. Just before I lose the train of thought, I wanted to comment. There was a dead deer just by Lake on Rochdale, and it was all I could find on the website was call the company and pay them.
No.
It wasn't on my, so you might want to look at it and say, if I have a dead deer, was it clear how I would reach the right people? Because it wasn't to me.
Call the Borough Hall.
Ask Anna.
Ask
Anna. That's the mom. I understand.
Dead deer, call
Anna.
Dead deer
on road, no, not on your property. On your property, yes, you have to pay.
It was in the public right of way. It was on between the, it was next to a public sign, but it was
on the county road.
So it wasn't clear to me who to call. But
she'll call the county. She'll call the county.
Whatever. Very good. Okay. And it, you know, it was. I got to see great vultures for a couple of days, and then it disappeared.
What disappeared? The vultures or
the deer?
First, the deer disappeared, and then the vultures weren't interested anymore. I don't know why. Okay. So I also wanted to more specifically update you and also thank your liaison, Connie Erstrom, for supporting the senior citizens of Roosevelt. Hillary is the secretary, I'm the treasurer. We're getting ourselves organized. We appreciate your enthusiastic support, and especially Connie's help with Lakeland Bank, getting us access to the funds that were left from the previous organization. We're working to put a schedule together, and I think the next step will be coming up with, in addition to our monthly meetings, some major events like a concert or a casino or something, whatever the membership wants to do. So that's getting off the ground. And again, you know, really appreciate your support. And
yeah, we had a thriving senior citizen group, but with the pandemic and then unfortunately quite a few deaths, it just ended.
No, that's
really
right. Well, I think we resuscitated
right,
fairly
exactly.
In time because the bank had is leaping over a succession of hurdles, and you know they were dotting the I's and crossing the T's as well. They were, so now we just need to spend less time talking about bylaws and more time talking about fun things to do.
Yeah.
But we had 20 people at our last meeting. We're hoping to get word of mouth out, and especially as we put, you know, get bigger activities together. Which at least in my mind is where we should put some of the more significant funding, to subsidize a trip to a play or a concert or something that will attract people. So thank you for that. That activity has emphasized for me just how heavily used this space is because, you know, we had to hold our meetings at a time when this space wasn't being used for other activities. And I understand there is discussion about utilizing some of the space next door, and I would like to encourage you to think about that as potentially an asset that could be used by its owners, the public of Roosevelt. And a model I would suggest is in Mendham Township, where I lived for several decades. There's a building which is owned by a nonprofit that they call the Community Club, and it and its surrounding acreage are used for the public for meetings, and it's managed by volunteers as part of the nonprofit. I know that you know every minute of every employee's time here is very precious. Something, you know, if the space could be organized for public use, then it could be managed by a group of volunteers, and I think that would be the best way to use it, because it shouldn't need to be babysat, and if it's being used by the citizens, then it can be managed by the citizens, so that can be a win-win. And also,
to let you know,
yes,
that's one of the options.
I hope you'll strongly consider it,
because
and I know it's...
We're so short of space. We don't have a conference room. I don't have I don't have an office, I don't have a desk. We're so short of space here. I do everything from home, because there's not even a desk here.
A lot of companies are doing everything from home.
I'd rather be a little more hands-on in here.
Well, I don't know exactly what space is available.
Yeah.
I'm going to be an advocate.
And I'm not saying no. I'm
right.
Just saying we really have to.
I don't know what might be
right.
Subdivided or how to use, you know, it might be if there's a conference room there that this space might be available for, you know, other times. But I you know, I'm also cognizant of impact of misuse of this space that, you know, has had some impact on employees. And I think, you know, that's not right. There needs to, you know, you have a deposit, you know, you need to have a company on service. And if people misuse the space, then their deposit should go to getting the space in better shape. But also, you know, if they were space managed by volunteers, they could be responsible for doing, you know, a lot of that administration and would offload employees. So that's something, you know, I personally not only be interested in helping to support the management of such space, but I'm also pretty handy and would be happy to volunteer some of my time to help with renovations and finishing. And finally, I just want to toss out to you for your consideration, one of my hobbies for the last 18 years, I'm a volunteer firefighter, and so when we moved to town, I was saddened to hear that I couldn't walk to the firehouse anymore, but I am a probationary member at the Millstone Fire Department, and so I've responded to calls here as part of your shared services agreement, and in conversations there with the firehouse, I've come to understand that Millstone has an arrangement where the members of the EMTs and firefighters are exempt from paying permit fees for home improvements in Millstone. I've just finished a major renovation, so I wouldn't expect personally to benefit going forward, but I want to just toss out there, you might want to consider doing something similar to reward and encourage first responders in the Roosevelt community of just waiving municipal permit fees for just to be on par with what's going on.
First responders here anymore.
I'm a first responder.
You mean, okay, for a different
EMTs. It would be, I mean, you outsource to Millstone, but
I have people in town that work.
That work for Millstone, right?
Right, right. I am one. And so, you know, I just think to match that would be a nice gesture, and I think it might encourage others to volunteer similarly. So thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Colleen Silver, Middleton, North Valley. A small but mighty public you have here tonight. The map for the stormwater and the outlets, please encourage Carmela to finish that. I know it's going to be hard finding all of the outlets in the inlets, but with them, it would certainly make going through that permit process and knowing where they are and setting up your maintenance plan a lot easier, and it would help the Environmental Commission because a lot of times they go through the area where the trail is, and it will help us to know how to maintain it better.
Well, I think Carmel has every intention of completing it.
I don't know. She was sort of saying she felt like, why should she even finish it?
No, I think she was waiting for us. That was my impression. If we didn't want her to, we would say, okay, fine, forget it.
Well, Justin, okay. Tell her you enthusiastically encourage her.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
All right, I'm going to close the public portion at 9:03 p.m. In the closed session. Okay.
One small. Deb Sean donated a bust of FDR from Johnny to the Borough Hall. So it's very heavy, so it should be, we're not putting it on the piano anymore. So it should be either on the counter or Mike says he might have a pedestal.
I think it might be appropriate to put that on a regular
bronze,
pedestal for. I have some pedestals from Johnny's studio.
I know, but I hope, you know, you have people in here all the time. I just wouldn't want somebody to knock into
it. No, I think you could secure it so that nobody could do that.
Maybe. Yellow tape around it.
No, but I think
it's a crime if this falls.
Where else would you put it, though? I mean, you can't put it on the piano, it's too heavy.
No, but if you put it behind on the pedestal of the piano, and that just gets moved.
Sure.
Would it be high enough?
I think so. And there's a lot of corners and places where you can put it where it would be supported.
Visible, but not
Yeah.
We'll put an alarm on it.
I don't think you want it on that table and have him looking at everything you're eating. And then if you got to move that table, that's heavy.
Yeah,
it's very heavy.
Children here, they go running.
Yeah.
I think it's a better addition to the plaster bust that we did have.
Yeah.
It has to be well bolted.
Probably 30-40 pounds.
Wow.
They're heavy because it's hollow.
Yeah. No, it's hollow, but
it's still hollow, but it's still massively heavy, and the base is a little.
I think bring it right in the corner. Put a shelf.
Yeah,
the
anchor
along with
this anchor really
yeah.
well.
You've been 40 pounds is not a hell of a lot.
You know, with all the stormwater, all these regulations and the cost, and all these other towns having to do it, I had an idea that there used to be a mayor's panhandle thing, and I was involved in it, where all the mayors would meet once a month as part of a panhandle group, because we're a separate part of the county. Let's face it, you know, we're not like the rest of the county. No, we're Westerners here. But there was a lot of sharing of ideas as to how to handle things. A lot of shared services came out of it, where one mayor would say, look, you know, maybe we could share the cost on this. Maybe we could share how to do this report. I had an idea about this. Here's a great contractor for a roof. All kinds of things like that. And it may be worthwhile to set something up. And it doesn't have to be the mayor. It could be, you know, anybody, any council member can be part of it. But I think it might be worthwhile to get that kind of communication going between all the different municipalities in the panhandle. We're all local. Makes sense.
Well,
shared services to work.
Every town she gave this explanation to just froze in fear.
Yeah.
So I can look into that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, our next meeting is Monday the 2nd of October.
That quick, huh? that soon, huh?
I can't believe how many things are going to start the first through here. That's around the corner.
Yeah.
So I get to go have a look. Did we get this thing, right?
No,
we didn't. No, I interrupted with
the
most
of the return?
Yes.
Yeah,
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Time out, 9:07.
Ooh. That was me.